How do we start building a life that we want to live in, that we're not trying to escape? Going straight to the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top.
Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? Mike here, Sports and the Real Shit Podcast, coming at you once again. As always, I appreciate everyone joining me, listening in, watching YouTube, Spotify, wherever you're listening, watching. I appreciate it. Spending a few minutes of your time with me. I'm going to remind you guys, don't forget to like, subscribe, share, family and friends. Let them know what we got going on over here. We're not just sports talk, as you'll get a listen in today, another episode today. It's not just sports talk, it's real life stuff to benefit us, not just as sports fans. Also, don't forget to check out the website, y'all. sportsandthereal.tv, sportsandthereal.tv. Check it out. I'm going to have the guests that I have on, I'm going to have them on there as well and link in their bios and their information. You guys can reach out to them as experts wherever, whenever you need any kind of help to use their services. But jumping into tonight's episode, you guys, I have with me a special guest, Kimberly Pack. I'm going to do a quick intro for her. So she calls herself a trauma-informed coach, not just any coach, a trauma-informed coach, an attorney for almost 20 years, experience in corporate America, leading Fortune 50 and Fortune 100 companies, working with companies such as Prudential Financial, Anheuser-Busch, and United Airlines. She's been a sponsor, a mentor, a coach, helping corporate professionals reach their goals. She's recovered from setbacks, and she helps others recover from setbacks and redefine success for themselves. So she works from a position of experience. A Chicago native, graduate of Spelman College here in Atlanta, Georgia, and Harvard Law School. Currently, she is the founder of Ascend Together, which is a corporate wellness and strategy practice, and I'll let her talk a bit about that later on. But essentially, what she does is help people, men and women, find the right balance between pushing themselves to the limit, which we often do, especially as men, and actually resting so we don't kill ourselves. So I'd like to welcome to the podcast, Kimberly Pack. Thanks for being with us, Kimberly.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Cool. So before we jump in to talk about rest and things like that, right? I was doing a little bit of research about it. So the truth is, I'm going to say fellas, most of my audience is guys. So I'm going to just be honest and say fellas. The truth is, fellas, we don't get enough rest. Why? I think it's societal that we've been led to believe, we've been bred to believe that, you know, we've adopted 50 Cent's mindset of get rich or die trying. So we don't sleep enough. We don't take time to be mindful enough to rest. We're always on the go. And then a couple of years later, you know, a few years in, we're burnt out, right? Whether we're working in at a job, 9 to 5, corporate America, entrepreneur, we get burned out. So a couple stats I pulled up on the internet, 44% of U.S. employees surveyed in 2024 reported being burned out. 74% of employees experience burnout at least occasionally. Remote work doesn't really help that much because 53% of the people who work remotely say they find it hard to unplug. So it's either you spend time in traffic, stressing about traffic, or you're working too long and you can't unplug when you're working remotely. 67% of people said burnout increased over the pandemic. Imagine that. The average PTO days in the U.S. is 17 days taken. On an average, 1.5 days are left on the table of PTO. So Americans in general don't use all of their PTO. I know I'm a huge culprit of that. And I make all types of excuses as to why I don't use all of my PTO. So essentially, really everyone's burned out. I don't believe the percentages are as low as they say. Actually, I think more people are burned out than is being reported. So the conversation tonight we're going to have is how to avoid that burnout while also being able to achieve your goals and maintaining that balance so you don't kill yourself. So as I mentioned to you guys all the time, I want us to be huge sports fans, but also healthy, to be financially well off, millionaires, physically fit, and the best of the relationships, right? That's what I want for my followers. And that's the conversation we're going to have here tonight. So buckle in, sit back, and let's talk about some real stuff with Kimberly here about the importance of resting. So question, after all that said, Kimberly, question for you. How did you get into this space of resting? So you're an attorney by practice. Attorneys that I know don't rest. I was a former consultant. Billable hours is what we did. And we worked all the time. Attorneys work all the time. So how did you get started? How did you go from attorney, probably working all the time, I'm assuming, to where you are now?
So I never did work all the time. So,
this comes
natural to me.
Well, damn.
I did summers at law firms where they would work all the time. And I was like, this is not what I want for myself. So I never worked at a law firm full time. So I went in-house where the reputation was that you have a better work life. I mean, you still work, but it's more like you may have to come in earlier, but people were leaving around 6 o'clock, 7. If it's a project, you work more. But it wasn't this expectation that you were working all the way around the clock like you would if you were at a firm. You know, a client calls you at 6:59 and asks for some big project. Now you're working all weekend because the client wants you to provide something by Monday morning. And so the reason I started doing this work is because everybody around me was burnt out. Burnt out. They were stressed. They were exhausted. That's all they would talk about. So they weren't even enjoyable to be around, right? It was like soon as you started talking to them, it was just this long list of what they were tired of, their responsibilities. And then again, I'm talking to a lot of women. So they have the kids, they have the husband. There may be some parent caretaking that's happening because we're of that age now where we are, you know, sandwich generation, where we are taking care of parents that are aging. And then we have children that we're also taking care of. And then the societal pressure to be part of things. So now you want to be in the links. You're still with your sorority. You are, you know, you're in this group. You're in Jack and Jill. Jack and Jill has you working, right? Like, so there's a lot of responsibilities. Even as you try to be social, even your social things feel like work, right?
And yeah.
So you didn't have a lot of outlets. And so when I launched my practice, that was one of the main things I wanted to focus on, was getting people to interrupt these habits and get really thoughtful about rest, because it impacts not just our, like, we're just stressed at work, but it impacts our relationships. Your burnt out self shows up different. You're a burnt out husband, you're a burnt out wife, you're a burnt out mom, you're a burnt out daughter. So you can't disconnect that. And so it impacts your relationships. And then the other thing that it impacts is really your happiness. Right? Because you find yourself doing things, most of the things you're doing, you don't want to do. They're not important to you. They're not of value to you. And that's just not the way I want my people to live. And so I just wanted to give something else to think about and not give up the bag. So my business is not telling people to quit these good corporate jobs. That's not my line. But there is some approaches to work that would help us be more successful at work. Because I'm convinced that a rested person is more productive, a rested person is more creative, a rested person gets more done. And so I think people could, instead of looking at rest as just sleeping, I think they could see rest as something that would actually set them apart, because they would be working differently. They would be showing up differently, and it would actually help them in their career.
Yeah. So the truth, right, from my perspective, okay, people obviously want to rest. People would love to never work. People would love to take all the vacation, right? Even in places where there is unlimited vacation, PTO, people don't take 20 days, right? Like, because we're afraid, and to tie it into sports, right? Like, NFL players, like, they will play with a broken arm because they don't want the next person taking their time on the field and eventually taking their position. Oh, this guy played your minutes and he's better than you. Nobody wants to come off the field. And it's the same thing in our 9-to-5 jobs, corporate America, whatever it is, right? Like, nobody wants to take time off to let somebody else get ahead of them. And we've been fed this mindset. We have this mindset that we have to work. We have to give all of our time in, because if we don't, somebody else is going to lose a job. Somebody else is going to get the raise. They're going to get paid. And it's capitalism. You lose out, you get fired. Next thing you know, you don't have a... That's the fear that's instilling us. So that's why when you say rest, people are like, yeah, I'd like to vacation for 2 months, but I'm going to get fired. So what do I do? How do we strike that balance?
So I don't think so. I think that's part of it. When we start talking about rest, I think people limit themselves to one, sleep. So when I'm talking about rest, I'm talking about more than just physical rest. I go off the practice of Dr. Chandra Smith. She wrote a book, Sacred Rest. And so when I preach about rest, I'm using that Black woman medical doctor's work around rest. She talks about 7 types of rest. And I think a lot of us default to just going to sleep. And that's helpful. But when we don't address the other types of rest, you'll find you've had that experience where you went to lay down and you couldn't go to sleep because your mind was still racing.
So that last night.
Start being really thoughtful about rest. And she talks about the 7 types of rest. She talks about resting your physical body, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, socially, sensory, which is really difficult for us. We're on a computer right now, right? Sensory rest, and then creative rest. So we're not just talking about laying down. We're talking about exploring these areas that make us feel more rejuvenated and better. So this is not just about taking off 2 weeks, because some of us would take off 2 weeks and we'd come back just as tired as we was before because we're not being thoughtful about what that rest looks like. But you can daily take time to be rested. So rested can be looking like actually going to bed, right? The physical rest, but I think people get that part. But it could be mental rest where you are taking brain breaks throughout the day, so you're not just loading yourself and you're never giving yourself that break.
How do you take a brain break in the middle of the day? Seriously.
It depends on what you need. So let's say you're feeling anxious. You can go to the bathroom and run cold water off your hands. That's an easy one.
Cold water does what?
Cold water brings us back to our body and kind of shocks us a little bit.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
If you're anxious, sometimes you could just have your own back. Rub the back of your head. Have your own back.
You lying.
I'm not. It reminds you because our brain and it tells us we're in trouble, we're in flight. And sometimes you just got to remind yourself. It makes you back to your physical and just rub the back of your head, back of your neck. Bring yourself back. Tell your body you're okay. Little tricks. You can come home. Or if you have, some of these fancy tech companies have sleep rooms and they have pods.
I've seen that.
You can go into a quiet room, eye mask, earplugs, silence. When was the last time you sat in silence in the dark?
See, here's the thing, right?
But not trying to go to sleep.
I've worked at companies and they've had these sleep rooms. I swear to you, I have never seen a single person go in or come out of those things. So, nobody uses them because, again, these amenities are available and these companies practice taking your vacation time. But in practice, practically, nobody does it because everyone is scared that they're going to miss out and they're trying to climb the ladder and the ladder is going to get pulled from under them if they happen to enjoy that rest. If they happen to go into that sleep room, like somebody's going to tell on them. I don't know, but I swear to you, I've never seen anybody use those rooms. So how do you, and we'll keep going through the different types of rest, but how do you reprogram yourself to not feel like that? Because I feel like that's the first hurdle, especially for dudes.
Yeah.
Maybe for women as well, because you guys do a whole hell of a lot, right, with kids and all that. You mentioned it. But for dudes, I feel like we are, again, get rich or die trying. Like, you're the supporter of your family. If you're the breadwinner, like, you're doing this, you're doing that. There is no rest for the weary, man. Like, you're doing it all. So if you don't get it in, you're going to lose your job and your family's depending on you. That's a bad look to come to the wife to say, hey, you lost your job because you took a rest. Likely that's not going to happen, but that is the mindset that is programmed in us. So how do we first, before we start tackling these 7 types of rest, how do we first get the heck out of that, man? Because it's stuck.
I think that's right. And I think with a lot of stuff that we have to do, we have to challenge the thought. So the thought comes in like, oh my gosh, people are going to think I'm lazy. We're making this up, right? They have a sleep pod. No one's ever actually told you not to go in there. They encourage you to go. Again, use your common sense. We are not people that's going to go clock in at 9 o'clock and go into the sleep pod. If that's the case, don't come in, right? going to the sleep pod and staying in the sleep pod till 5 and saying, oh yeah, I was just thinking.
I'm rested.
I was resting. But it's this idea of challenging the thought about really what's this worst case scenario that we've built around taking some time. Again, I just said a 15-minute break. You get a lunch, you got 15-minute breaks. And if you track your time, you would have seen that you probably scrolled on Instagram in a work day for hours.
For sure.
You might 100%. Have been ordering concert tickets. You no tell. We do a lot of stuff while we're
definitely.
Working.
It has You're
absolutely
right.
nothing to do with work. So if we reuse that time to do something that feels good for our body, our emotions, our mental. So it's really just like challenging the thought and then putting in some new things in action. And it could be realistic. So some people for meditation, meditation for 1 minute is all you got in you. If it's new to you, no one's telling you to meditate for 50 minutes. You may not even have that. So you could do the Calm app real quick. They have little 30 seconds. Have you ever done that on TV when they have the Calm commercial and it's pouring the rain down and it takes you 30
seconds?
Yeah,
yeah. There's a Calm app.
There's a Calm app. There's a lot of different apps that will give you short guided meditations. You can decide. There's black ones. There's people. Maybe it's a voice you want. Maybe there's a certain voice that gets you going, right? Or that feels mm-hmm. soothing. Or maybe it's sounds of nature. You can get those channels right on your Spotify or your Apple Music. They have channels for that. So you could say, I'm about to listen to this rainfall real quick for about a good little minute and just take some deep breaths during this little minute. That minute can really go a long way. I don't think you should limit your whole rest practice to 1 minute, but as we're learning how to incorporate rest, I want my clients to start with a minute, 3 minutes, 2 minutes throughout the day, going to bed early or doing something creative. So we do it small. And then the other thing I want to talk about is you might lose your job anyway. Right. So there is no job security. So you out here worried about not losing your job. You could be doing everything right. And these people, you make the list of the layoff. So I also want us to stop thinking that we are in control of these jobs. Man. Right. We want to get what we can out of them. You want to earn that check. You want to show yourself approved. And then that's the other thing. Just working hard isn't enough. So while you're working hard, I want you to have a strategy that talks about how great you are, because they're not going to replace you if they can help it, if they know the good work you're doing. Some of y'all are working, nobody even know the good work you're doing. So we need to have a bigger strategy around it. And then also, again, don't believe the lie that there's any job security, because people could be at the top of their game and find themselves on a layoff list.
That's true. That's true. So you're right. But it's drilled in our minds, right, that you can't take no time off. So right before we get back to the 7 types of rest.
Yeah.
Some people, again, making it practical. Some people, myself included sometimes, and I'm learning to block my calendar off. Some people's calendars are literally booked like with meetings from like morning to afternoon. And a lot of times I'm going to say, you're in meetings that you probably don't have to attend. And I wish more corporations would force people to not have back-to-back meetings. That's something, if I were to ever become a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, like, you can't have back-to-back meetings. That's insane. And then you have to get work done after that. But some people are literally, even entrepreneurs, right? They're running around from the time they wake up to the evening. And then they come home, XYZ. I got 5 kids. So I got to, after work, I got to handle the kids and wash
Mike,
the
Mike, you have 5 kids, or are you talking about an imaginary person?
That imaginary person is me.
Okay. All right.
I literally have 5 kids.
Okay. That's beautiful. That is really beautiful.
It's a lot. Don't blame me. I had nothing to do with it.
Okay.
I had zero to do with
Please,
it. All right?
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was trying to think about if we was in hypothetical or we were in the real, but this man said he has 5 children. Okay. Got it. Clear.
Nothing to do with it. Blame her. So, this imaginary person, works all day, after work, 5 kids, homework, blah, 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 wash dishes, help around the house where you can, try to get stuff done with a podcast, imaginary person, right? Trying to, do stuff with entrepreneur work, this imaginary person has a lot going on. How does this imaginary person actually rest before they hit the pillow at midnight?
Yeah.
Just to wake up at 6 o'clock the next day.
I'm thinking we're getting up with some rituals, right? So we're waking up thinking about our day. We're already declaring that it's going to be a great day. We're already doing things that light us up because we're going to get clear about what that is. If that's taking an extra 5 minutes to sip our coffees and look out the window, whatever makes sense for you, we're starting off the day slowing down, right? Because some of us, we're snoozing. And then it's like stressful because now we're late. I'm trying to assist people to literally curate their life and their days. Because again, we're like, I don't know. I got all these meetings on my calendar. I don't have a whole bunch. I have some meetings on my calendar, but I also have the meetings I booked on my calendar, right? So I have focus time on my calendar. I'm looking at a meeting, and if I don't know why I'm there, I'm about to say, hey, what? You got the, I'm not showing up to anything. I don't know why I'm there. So if you have not made that clear, you just plopped it down. I will reach out and say, hey, I just want to check in this way to support. Because some meetings I don't need to be at. Some meetings I'm like, oh, I just tell them I'm not coming, right? I'm not going to be able to meet this, but feel free to schedule a separate one on my calendar another day, right? Or the notes, like, what is it that some meetings you don't have to be in? Now, everybody don't have it like that. So let's respect your level. So we will respect.
Thank you.
Everybody's level's not there, right? But yes. I will say people have more control than they think of, right? And in some of these meetings, if you know what the meeting is, you know, you go to this regular meeting and you never talk at this meeting. All right, during this meeting, I'm be tuned in a little bit, but I might be doing something else. You know, like think about how you're spending your time and be real with yourself. And the main thing is like, you know, if you're trying to be a star, you need to be clear about what's making you a star at work. If you can't name what your contributions
are, that's a good
one.
That's a good one.
And who you telling it to, and who else knows about it, you're not a star at work.
That's a good one.
So that's a good one. That's the other thing. Like some people really do. I had someone recently who was very upset they didn't get a high rating, right? And I said, "What made you think you were going to get the high rating?" They were like, "Because I did all this extra stuff." And I said, "Well, did you align with your manager on it?" She said, "No." To talk to my manager about what I want, I need that alignment because that he or she is going to say whether I'm getting a high or not. I want that. We need that alignment. So she might have done a lot of stuff, but it wasn't meaningful stuff, to at least to her manager. And that's something she could have figured out before she did it. But now she's mad at the company and she's mad at the job. And so I was so glad we got to talk so I can redirect her to herself and where she can improve going forward, right? And so this just working hard is not enough. And then if you taking the time to do the little good work, and I would rather you spend a little more time self-promoting around that good work, because that'll keep you in the job more than you just doing good work. I was at a place early on in my career where I was doing amazing work and nobody knew about it. I had to learn that.
Well, you know, teach us then, because let me know what's up.
Because
what
I went to a job, my first Fortune 500 company, it was Fortune 50. Prudential was Fortune 50 when I joined. It might have been 48. And I had been at a small company. And the year review was January to December. Great. So I saved some of my high-level things that I was going to do for fourth quarter because I wanted to really send it home that this was the best hire. I didn't know they had the meeting in October, y'all. So now when I talk to my clients, I'm like, no, you got to understand this. Yeah, they said January, December, but they don't mean that all the time because they had already voted. They had already given people their levels in October.
Yikes.
And here I am out here with my little little razzle dazzle that I was going to give at the end of the year, not understanding that they had already judged me based on my March to October, because I joined in March that year. I had already been judged on my work and I saved something. So then I understood, okay, this really works from October to October. That changed how I did things. It changed how I showed up. It changed who I talked to because I didn't know who was in their calibration meetings. I didn't know they had calibration meetings. So now I'm meeting quarterly with everybody who's going to get to vote on me. So now they don't even know we're meeting quarterly. No, this is on my list. I'm meeting with them quarterly so they know I'm doing work. They're excited about me. I see them excited about the company. I see them interested in their work because people vote for people they like. Yeah, you got the work part. But if they like you, they see you different. That's how it is when you like somebody. You can overlook a lot of stuff. And when you don't like somebody, every single thing irks you, whatever. So when we're talking about rest and incorporating work, it's really getting that perspective about what's important at this job, who's important, what work is valuable here. Because sometimes we'll find ourselves working on stuff that doesn't even earn us a spot, right? And so when we're putting it all together, Right. And then we talk about rest. You could be the rest ambassador. This could be something you stand on. You could be on a panel talking about rest. And they're like, oh, look at that, Kimberly. That's what I'm doing. Right. Like, I'm talking to people about rest and I'm still a professional. And they're like, oh, that's so great. This is so helpful. Speak to the women's group. Right. So now I'm carving myself a lane in my industry.
No, that's actually very, very accurate, because if I were to get up at my job and say, hey, what about this rest thing? Like, let's talk about that. People would be shocked, but I think they'll be surprised to be like, we probably should incorporate that, because people, especially some of our operations staff, those guys, I talk to them pretty regularly, and those guys are burned out. So I'm pretty sure they would love something like that. So that's an interesting concept. I have to find somebody to do that for me, though, because that's not my style. So getting back to this, right? Seven types of rest. And I wanted to ask this, so I'm glad you actually started that way, is trying to understand the difference between just regular sleep or regular vacation and actually rest as you present it in your program. So seven types of rest. I think the first one you talked about was physical rest.
Physical rest. That's the one we know, right? That's the one that's really focused on our bodies. And this can be sleep. This can be stretching. So think about rest in our bodies and our mind. We're mind, body, and soul. So stretching matters. Stretching can be good for us mentally. It could be good for our bodies. Because when you're stretching, you're usually breathing. That breathing. So when I talk about the seven types of rest, I want to be clear that I'm not saying that you got to do seven new things. Some of this stuff has overlap. And so when you think about resting your body, it is physical sleep and going to sleep, but it's also how you take care of your body. How are you being present in your body? So stretching is a really great way to rest your body.
Right? Okay, good. So I do spend some time stretching during the day.
Now you're going to be more intentional about it. So you're not just stretching to be stretching. So now you go deep in that stress, right? You do some breathing about that stress. Maybe when you exhale, you say something positive, right? So you can incorporate something you're already doing and make it a practice. So now you be like, ooh, yes, this is going to be a great day. Or I'm feeling good. I'm amazing. Whatever thing you might need to start saying to yourself, you can breathe in. I'm breathing in some anxiety. I'm breathing out peace. I'm breathing in peace. I'm breathing out anxiety. That's something you could just do. And you could say it out loud, or you could do it in your head. You could be at the gym having a whole little service for yourself. You could be ministering to yourself at the gym. And everybody just like, oh, look at that brother stretching. You over here speaking life into yourself.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. When I'm stretching, I'm thinking about things. My mind is racing. Like, I'm dry. Like that, and that's the thing, man. Like, you talk about resting. I feel like my mind is never resting. So yeah. I'm driving, like I'm thinking about the next thing. Like, I'm stretching, I'm thinking about, even though, like, I'm watching these videos that say you're supposed to try to, you know, rest your mind as you're stretching and breathing. That is such a struggle for me. Like, sometimes resting my mind as I'm stretching is harder than the actual stretching, right? And I'm not even that flexible of a person, right? Like, my muscles are tight, but I find it easier to, like, stretch physically as a man. I think we're just programmed that way to do the physical labor than to do the hard work of mentally challenging our minds to actually rest. So that's a good one. Physical resting, stretching. Yeah. Talking positive to yourself is a form of physical stretching. All right, what you got for us? What's next?
Okay, mental rest, right? So this is, you know, again, we're taking these brain breaks. You might do silence. There could be some music that kind of helps you to zone out a little bit, that kind of takes your mind, you know, to a happy place, maybe. It could also be journaling, right? So, like, because journaling, you're getting your thoughts out. So maybe you're giving yourself space to, like, what's going on in my thoughts? What's my key things? What things are bothering me? Like, getting that stuff out and written down, even if we don't do anything else with it, can be really freeing, because some of it is just so stuck in our head and it just weighs so much. So just to take the time to say, I'm really worried about this thing here, and write it out. Like, this is what I'm worried about. This is what's on my mind. And then you can get a plan if you decide to say, well, what can I do about this? And some of it is I can let it go, because there's nothing for me to do here. Or it can be like, you know what, I'm going to do these two things that's going to help address this thing that's egging me, right? Instead of just having it weigh on us. So sometimes we can take some action around it, right?
So this is different, the journaling you're talking about, this is different from strategizing? Or is that the same, like, like I said, my mind's always running. So if I take the time to write this stuff out, which I do, is that the same as resting, or am I like breaking a rule here?
I don't think you're, so I think there's no rules. So if you strategizing on paper in that moment relieves you, makes you feel better, then you should do that.
Okay.
Or maybe the thing is anxious and you wouldn't have, the strategy isn't dealing with anxiety, it's dealing with the project, right? And so the rest part could be like, why? The journaling that could be different could be, why is this bothering me, right? And then you could be like, ah, because I'm a little scared. This feels big. It's a bigger crowd than I'm used to. Or like, Bob's going to see this, and Bob's been critical of me in the past. Like, so you can actually start thinking about why you're feeling this way around things, because sometimes we don't do that, right? We feel something, but we're not attributing to anything. We're just carrying the emotions around. So you're like, okay, I'm worried about this thing because Bob was critical last time. You know, I'm gonna show Bob up, right? I'm gonna give Bob a chance to see me differently. Or you could just say F Bob this time, right? Like, you can make that decision about whatever frees you up. Because some of us different. Some of us want to collaborate with Bob. Some of us want to be like, Bob don't matter, forget Bob, right? It depends on what Bob is standing in your way of some things.
Cool. Okay. Got that. Physical, mental. What's next? Yeah.
So emotional rest. So emotional rest, this could be tough. This could be tough. Because emotional rest is really about, one, are you in touch with your emotions, right? One, this is something.
I'm a man, of course not. What are you talking about?
But you're invited to just think about your emotions. You don't even got just, how am I feeling? What I'm feeling? Like, there's some work here to do, right? I'm not being unrealistic with you all, but there's an invitation here that I'm inviting you all to just give some thought to your feelings. I know that there's a lot of pressure.
You're asking us to be sensitive?
I'm not even asking you to be sensitive. I'm asking you to get some awareness about your feelings.
Oh my God.
Because you have them.
That's tough. And I knew when we started talking about rest, we were gonna get into some stuff that men may not be comfortable doing. And one of them, I didn't know we were talking about emotions, but one of them is emotions. And I'm getting big on like mental health right now, and you know, nurturing your mentals and all that stuff. But when you start to, when you phrase it like, oh, getting into your emotion and listening to your feelings and stuff, a lot of men have a hard time doing that, including me, because you kind of feel like, damn, you're soft. And no man wants to be soft. No man wants to think of themselves as soft. So this one, I know it's going to be a struggle for my audience. So again, any advice you have here, we'll be grateful for.
Yes. This is another mindset thing, right? Because you get to define what soft is. And
oh, Lord.
You get to define what soft is. And it doesn't serve you to make soft being you in touch with your own feelings, right? Because the thing about it is, despite whether you're dealing with your feelings or not, the way you act, somebody might see you as soft anyway, right? If you out here acting out, you're gossiping, you're crying because somebody did this to you, you're whining, you're grabbing your bag at the gym and going home because somebody did something, you're like, you already exhibited some stuff anyway that somebody could classify as soft. So my idea and my invitation is just to be aware of your feelings. I think, and I'm not even telling you to emote them yet, even though that would be helping your emotional rest. Because a part of being emotional rest comes from also being able to share your feelings, being able to be witnessed in your state, right? Like, and I
to,
do think-
To be, say that again, to be able to what? To be able to witness?
To be able to share your emotions and to be witnessed. So somebody can see the real you in your real state. That is very powerful. And I do know men don't often get that.
No.
Again, 2024. So this is an invitation.
No.
To be able to witness your brothers and for you to create spaces and find somebody who can see you. It would be worth it.
That would be lovely. That would be a hedonistic place. On a really real, dudes aren't trying to show themselves as emotional beings around other guys. Like, I'm gonna be straight up real with you. I've been married for 18 years. I'm just now getting to the point where I could be totally upfront about my emotions around my wife, straight up. Because I didn't grow up around that. I grew up like typical, you know, dude, right? We're, you know, tough and dudes don't cry and, you know, stand up for yourself and, you know, all this thing. Like, you're blocking out your feelings, okay? So to tell a dude now, not only do you have to get emotional, you know, to be emotionally available to your wife, which some dudes struggle with even till this day after years of marriage, now you're telling them be emotional and, you know, around their dudes. That one is tough. And I would love for that to happen because that will obviously make us better people, right? Like, we are so pent up emotionally, but it is, it's,
yeah.
I don't want to say it's impossible, but it's tough.
And the invitation isn't for you just to emote with anybody, right? These are going to be trusted people. And
so for sure.
This is what we end up talking about, who's on your team, right? But, you know, I have men in my life that they have this type of brotherhood where they can be real with this person. And these men are so evolved. These men are just such in the best place of other men that I've seen that don't have it. Mm-hmm. When I tell you it's a game changer for you to be able to talk to another man, particularly if you happen to be black and it's another black man that is knows your journey, maybe some of them are have been further along than you in their career or even in their marriages, and to be able to have that connection and to have these conversations around the feelings of shortcomings, confusion, maybe some failure you might have had, even in your marriage or your relationship that you can't just share with your wife right away, and to have those advisors where you can be your real self, it would be a game changer. And I really want that for everybody, but I particularly really want that for black men, because I do think that it would change our experience in our community if black men felt seen and felt like they could be witnessed in their state, even when they're not at their highest, even when they're at their lowest, and they could still be seen and respected and loved on. Like, I'm about to cry right now, because that is what I want, because that man, see, that black man and a whole host of those black men, our community would be different.
100%. 100%. Listen, athletes, a lot of athletes now are starting to, like, as mental health awareness and all that stuff comes out, a lot of athletes are now starting to come out that, hey, they're struggling mentally. And, you know, I don't know if you know who DeMar DeRozan is. Played for the Bulls, or used to play for the Bulls. But he, you know, I think he was probably, like, the first one to come out and, you know, like, say, hey, you know, he need, like, a mental break or whatever, like, so now I think he has a podcast about mental health and things like that. So it's making the rounds at, I feel like, at different levels, right? And maybe it might be a financial thing, right? Where those who are more in a better position financially are more in a position to take mental breaks and to check in on themselves and to, you know, listen to their feelings about, if you're lower, you know, salary, lower wages, it might be hard. You don't have time for that because you got to hit the pavement. You're trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents. So you don't have time to check in with your feelings. Like, you're on a go, man. Like, big boys don't cry, suck it up. And I know women who are like that. Like, that one, the emotional one, is going to be a big struggle for a lot of people, but especially.
Yeah, I can see that. And there's a guy in Chicago, I can't think of his name, but he runs these group therapy sessions at a coffee shop up north. And I really appreciate that, because he's a black man, he owns a coffee shop, but mental health is like a key of it. And so it's free, right? And so people can come, they get the coffee. And again, are people breaking down his doors to join this? No, but they are showing up, and it makes a difference, because it's not therapy for sure. Like, he brings in therapists, but it's just an example of how it is expanding. And people are getting creative about that access, because, you know, another thing that's in emotional rest is a therapist, right? And so that might be far from people finding a therapist. And it takes work to find the right therapist. And it's money, right? Like, I mean, your insurance might cover it. But if your insurance doesn't, you know, you might be out $150 a meeting, right? And so for some people, that's like, I'll talk to myself, well, I'll keep it, right? I don't need this kind of support. But I promise you that some of the richest people that you admire, they have a therapist. In fact, they probably have a psychiatrist who is giving them prescription drugs. Okay,
correct.
That's one of the differences between therapists and psychiatrists. Therapists cannot provide prescriptions, right?
Yes.
And so what I'm saying with this audience, just keeping it real, is to start just with yourself. Just getting real and honest with yourself. Next level is having a community around you. Again, maybe this might be one homeboy. Like, don't think the world. I'm not trying to set you up, because some people don't deserve that kind of access to us, and they don't know what to do with it. So these are going to be people we trust, And people who are regular, like, I mean, listen, y'all, for us to be like, man, this promotion thing happened, I didn't get it. To be able to have somebody talk about that disappointment with, this should not be hard. And you should be able to find somebody. It's worth finding somebody to do that. Or this thing that you got going on with your marriage. I think that's important because so many things happen in marriages before the big thing blows up, right? Like, it's so getting, again, trusted people, not people who just whining with, who will tell you, leave your wife or quit your job, but sensible people who understand what your goals are, which hopefully your goal is to stay married. Your goal is to continue to have success defined as you define it for yourself, but who are people who are supporting you on your vision? And so then the advice is going to be supporting you on your path, right? And so I want people to have that.
Okay.
Another one is spiritual rest.
Yeah, spiritual. Let's go.
So spiritual is, you know, so this could be going to church, but it's really about, you know, what is it that means something to you? Like doing things that matter to you. What is that? Spending some time doing things that matter to you, that brings meaning to you. That's worth having. So yes, it's a go to church and, you know, hear some good singing. If that moves you and you feel like you're part of that community, that's rest. So going to church rejuvenates a lot of us. I mean, in our Black community, church was everything. And it really served as a way to get through the work week, going to church on Sundays. And some of us came from
so
that.
So we got no other types of rest, but we did get the spiritual.
And we feel good in church. I mean, the churches that we often go to, right, it's a lot of feel good. It's a lot of the devil is a lie. It's a lot of that helping us to have hope and to believe. And you feel connected to the deacons and the nurses and the kids. And that is spiritual rest. So being connected. So I am not concerned about the lack of church activity for a lot of people. But we're not going to church like we used to. That's going to impact our community.
Absolutely. 100%. So most faith-based, you know, faith religions, they have the weekly seven-day cadence. Do you feel like that's an appropriate, like, every 7 days, like to like just let everything go and just do nothing, but you know, the church or whatever it is that an appropriate cadence, you think?
I think a lot of churches usually have weeknight services, but I think this is again about responsibility for our own life. You should be having church by yourself. I have worship at my house by myself. I sing my songs. I cry. I talk to the God. I talk to the Lord about what's going on with me. I'm tapping into my spirituality daily, right? Like I got a couple of songs. Soon as it starts, listen, Donnie McClurkin sings "Stand," babe. All we can do
after you've done all you can.
All you can do is say, when I don't know what else to do, I play me some Donnie McClurkin "Stand" because that's all I got, God. I'll be like,
I can see that. I can see brother Donnie doing that to you.
Listen. That's all I got, Lord. I don't got nothing else. I'm about to play this little song. I'm about to cry my little heart out. And then I'm get on back up. Like, that song 4 minutes, right? Like, I have a 4-minute worship service. And then I get back to it. I'm like, all right, I'm going to trust you. And I'm about to go do what I think is the next right step, right? But I just got that little, I got it off my chest. That song connects me to God. And that's what, for me, is a higher power. I believe in God. People might believe in other things. You got to figure out what that is. But spend some time there, right? And the community around it. So that's why it goes together. So I do stuff by myself, but also the community around it, right?
What does... So I don't want to get too deep into this, right? So not everyone is spiritual, believing in a higher power. What do you find spiritual rest for the non-believers? Because I'm sure not everyone, you know, following
it's still these. The things that mean something to them. So if something that means a lot to you is, or that concerns you, or that you feel would be making meaning, so then maybe you're doing some volunteer work that help you and puts you in a place where you feel like you're part of volunteer work. You're usually connected to some organization, so you're getting that community part, and you're doing something that means something to you. That lights us up when we're doing things that are meaning-making for us, and we are part of it. So volunteer work could be that. And I will also tell you, the growing denomination or faith is atheism, and atheists are now having church. So that community...
You lying.
I am not. I am Stop. Not. Stop atheists it. Are starting to have church because they need that community. And so... It looks different.
I'm not even going to laugh at this.
I'm trying to tell you because that community piece matters. And so they don't want to go to church and they don't want to believe in a God, but they want to commune with people who believe like they believe. even though they don't believe in a God.
So
see what I'm saying? Because we are humans and community is core to us. So yes, the atheists are going to their version of church.
So we're having church, a group of believers who believe in nothing?
Yes.
Who believe that there is nothing.
Yes.
So that is amazing.
I ended up talking to somebody who was affiliated with Harvard, and we did some TED Talks, and he talked about this atheist church because he's a leader of one of them. And I asked him a lot of questions about it because it seemed to me it's like you should start believing this church is already set up, but that's not what they want to do. And so I asked him, what does the service look like? He said, it's different. Some, they do sing and they do stuff, but they don't read from the Bible. Some, they might read just around like a regular book. So it could look like a book club. Some of them just talk about science. So they decide what they're gathering for, but they are non-believers coming together in community. So that makes sense, even though it doesn't make sense for a believer, but as a human, that if it means something to you to not be a believer, and then you get to come with other non-believers and you guys get to commune, they're having some spiritual rest because they're with their soul regardless.
I'm learning a lot today, but that is something new for sure. What?
Absolutely.
I don't mean to laugh at them, but that's
that's
crazy.
I was like, that's so interesting. But the growing number as far as what people are atheists is a growing number.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe that a lot of people are like leaving faith, and you know, I don't know if atheism is the fastest growing.
It is.
But at least going into the unknown, uncertainty, you know,
agnostic,
you know, whatever these people are, right? They're just not sure of themselves.
Yeah.
You know, right or wrong, God or not, that type of thing. So I thought that was probably the fastest growing one, but atheism, wow, that's,
yeah,
that's crazy.
Okay, so I'm going to rush through these next three.
Yeah. Spiritual. What else?
Okay. We did spiritual. I want to do sensory because I think that's one that we can really take control of because we are so device driven because our phones are everywhere we go. And so we can get really intentional about getting away, giving our eyes, ears a break. So this is having time where you're not on a phone, you're not looking at a device, and you're just doing the dark thing, you're doing the still thing. How often are you giving yourself a rest where you're not playing the music, necessarily, like where you're just letting your senses just be? Again, this can be a 2-minute thing because the intention is not to rest. The intention is not to go to sleep. The intention is just to give your senses a rest.
That just seems so, you make it sound like it's just 2 minutes, right? But when you're rushing through your day, you're like, where am I going to find some time to actually stop and do nothing? And then you realize maybe, oh yeah, I could just, you know, put my phone down for a couple minutes and stay off Twitter, right? So that one, I think we can all, fellas, that one is the easiest one, all right? We've gone through the hard ones. Sensory is the easiest one. Put down TikTok and put down Twitter for 2 minutes, and you've met that one every day. 2 minutes more each day. Next thing you know, you'll be good.
Listen, that would be a game changer because we just don't give ourselves the break. The other thing is social rest. Now, this one is also, you know, this is when we're spending time with supportive people, or depending on how you're built, if you're more of an introvert, it's making sure you're spending time to fill up your own battery. So that might be creating time where you get alone time, which can be difficult if you're at work and then you have household stuff, and it may feel selfish for you to take that time, particularly as a man, because of women oftentimes are taking more of the household burden. And so then ain't nobody just looking to give you time to do nothing, but you find it anyway. So find this time where you, if that's what charges you up. So some people
are charged. Yes, I'm an introvert. So that's me. You're talking to me right now.
So some people are charged by being with other people, but I don't want you just to be with anybody. So this is not about you going to the bar. This is about you being around supportive people, people who you admire, people who inspire you, people who, when you leave this conversation, you go feel like you want to be a good person, better person. You feel like you're on your right path. You feel like you're part of something too, right? So this social rest. And then
I would think social rest sounds like sensory rest to me. It's like you're taking a break from everything, but you're sectioning it off. You're saying sensory is, you know,
it's really about the senses, the devices.
Social is like whether it's being with people or being away from people, whatever charges you,
correct,
do that.
That's right.
Okay.
And it's also, regardless of whether you're extrovert or introvert, it's making sure that you are nurturing some relationships, right? So because being apart, having friends makes you happier. So people who don't have somebody they can call up and do something with, they are less happy. People are very lonely. So it is worth you having a couple of people that's your homeboy that you can call and say, let's do this thing with, or let's watch this game with, let's kiki, invite them over to the game night. You know what you men do. And y'all go over there and you gossip and you talk just like some other people.
Hey, hey, hey.
But you're doing
we don't
it in
gossip.
You know,
men
you're
don't
doing
gossip.
It in a way that's, you know, less manly. You know, it's not
what soft. Is going on? We don't gossip.
Let me tell you something. I have brothers and I have cousins, and I tell you, whenever we get some tea, they be right there.
I'm not gonna let you lie on those guys. I'm not gonna let you lie on your brother's cousin. No, you will not
and
do that.
Dad, now, they're not gonna stay in it long, but they're here for at least the story. They want the meat of the story. They're not gonna stay long. Because you know, women, we'll talk about it for about 2-3 hours. They're not gonna stay for the whole 3 hours.
Get in and get out.
But that first 10 minutes with the meat, oh, they're all in there. My dad will be like, all right, he hang up or he walk out the room, he tired of it, but he got the story, he got the gist of it. So that's that social rest. And again, knowing what lights you up. So some people may not even fully know whether they're introvert or not. Just not liking people doesn't mean you're introvert, right? That might be mean you around the wrong people.
So yeah.
Let's get clear about what that is. So then the last one is creative rest. Creative rest is about inviting beauty into our lives. That might be art. This could be hard for the people. But when we do creative things or we find ourselves around beauty and art or we draw or we paint or we create music, that is gifting for us. It's a gift for us to be able to express ourselves in these ways.
And I'm not artistic. How does that work for me? So I find my creativity more like if I'm thinking about business and strategizing, right? I feel like that's what I'm the most creative in thinking about, you know, how to build things, how to, I don't know, thinking about business ideas. To me, I feel like that's what I'm at my most creative, even though most of it never leaves my head. Versus like, I'm not great at drawing anything, right? I'm not too musically inclined. I love music. I could play the piano a little bit, but I'm not writing songs and lyrics and, you know, anything
but
like
you could.
That.
Because the point of this creative rest is not about you being discovered. It's not about you making money. It's literally about you tapping into that part of you. So maybe you start with adult coloring. I don't like adult coloring. I tried it, right? I don't like it. But I like puzzles. I have some therapeutic puzzles. Only reason it's therapeutic is because it's an image of a black girl doing yoga. It's 48 pieces. It takes me 20 minutes to do. So it's just like something for me to do. It's creative because I'm putting it together. So puzzles. So you might enjoy puzzles, right? You might enjoy Legos. The other thing could be, again, about awakening wonder in ourselves. So that might be just going to the museum and seeing something really beautiful that just makes you, or think about the Grand Canyon, or what is it that makes you, bring you back to wonder, or make you feel childlike again. Sometimes we adults and so hard that when was the last time you felt like a child? And that childlike feeling could come for some people from doing something new. It could come from being around people who know us, and so we get to be silly and nostalgic, and we're silly and we're goofy and we're just, you know, they remember us from when. Like, it depends. What is it that brings you back wonder? What is it that brings you back to being a child? Like, what is it about the art and the beauty that just lights you up and just you admire that somebody had that gift? Or you can admire some nature that God would create something like this. Or if you're not a believer, that somehow science created these beautiful flowers, trees, rivers, birds chirping. You can experience this nature and not just walk past it because you're being intentional about it. You're taking it in and saying, wow, this is amazing.
That is some amazing, like, really, really good, right? First of all, first question on that. Do you recommend all these things every day?
So it could be, so I'm giving you different distinct things in kind of all the boxes, but journaling can hit your emotional rest, your mental rest. Journaling could hit your physical, depending on how you're doing. So it's not that, again, I'm not giving you 7 new things to do, but I just want you to be aware of these 7 areas and say, you know what? I'm feeling a little sluggish. And then now you got some language. You'll be like, you know, I have not broken from a device in days. Maybe I'll give myself 5 minutes, right? Just because you can touch in and be like, you know what? I don't know when the last time I felt like a child. What can I do? How do I discover what gets me in that place, right? So this is just an invitation for us to get in touch with ourselves. And as we figure out these things that light us up, that makes us feel good, we get to operate differently.
Wow.
We get to operate differently.
Because right now we're robots. I'm gonna tell you, like, sometimes I feel like I'm just like a robot, and I'm driving my kids to school, and I feel like everybody on the road is just a robot. We're like same pattern every day. Like, I swear to you, I notice the same cars on the road every day going and dropping my kids off to school, and like, it's the same. Yeah. So I feel like we're all in this society just on this treadmill doing it, rat race every day. And most people, and I know especially men, we don't have, we're not aware of any of this, most of us, right? Yeah. Secondly, we don't think we have the time or the capacity to put any of this stuff into practice. So I urge and I encourage you guys, man, who are listening to us and watching us, like, please, I know I am. Like, I'm going to start being intentional, because I do feel like sometimes I'm like, I'm a man in terms of, you know, I do manly things, but I'm not human, right? Like, there are sides to my humanity that I don't tap into, because I'm so busy running the rat race. I'm so busy being the breadwinner, and I'm, you know, doing this and doing that. I'm trying to climb up the corporate ladder while at the same time trying to start businesses and do this podcast and raise 5 boys, you know, making sure they do the right thing. And like, it feels like it's a million things to do all the time. But if you just probably start with the sensory and putting down Twitter, I would probably find a couple hours a day. So I encourage my audience to really take this stuff. So excellent. Really appreciate it. So let's skip forward here.
Okay.
You talk about becoming the CEO of your life. Talk about what that means, because when I hear the word CEO, I think of dudes who are busy all the time, and that goes exactly opposite of what we just talked about.
Yeah.
So what does it mean to be the CEO of your life?
Yeah, so I talk about that because people have some thoughts about a CEO, and I think what they think, one of the first things they think about as a CEO is that they're important and they're worth listening to. And so what I want people to do is become that voice for their lives. I want you to become the CEO of your life, where you are worth listening to, you are worth taking care of. But then let's go to the role of the CEO. The role of the CEO, he or she is responsible for the overall health of the company. You as a CEO of your life, the health for your health. So you should be going to the doctors. You should be knowing about your blood pressure. You should be knowing about your cholesterol. You should be that colonoscopy when it's time. Go get that.
Lord.
Right? And so being the CEO of your life means you're taking care of your overall health. It means that you have a vision and a strategy. So you're not sitting here just doing a corporate rat race, because you have a vision for what you're trying to do. Because CEOs operate under a vision and strategy. They have a 3-year plan. They have, you know this. They have a strategy. They have a vision. It's 3 years. It's 5 years. This is what they're about to do. Mm-hmm. Do you have that for your life? Is it written down? Do you have a team? The CEO always have a management team. Who are the direct reports that are recording to the CEO? They're the top people of every important function. He has to make sure those people in those roles are work for him, that they make sense, that they are effective, and that they are bought into the strategy and the vision. Who in your life is bought
into tough one.
Your strategy and your vision? And they're going to support you, right? So who are your cheerleaders? Who are the ones that are going to tell you that, yo, that you're getting off track? You're getting a little off track here, because
that's a tough one, because most dudes don't have that. We have our maybe girlfriends, wives. Most dudes don't have that. I mean, we have friends.
Yeah.
But we may not have friends where we're like, you know, hey, hold me accountable, true accountability partners. That one is a tough one for sure.
And it's worth the effort of building. So who do you admire? Who's living a life that you wouldn't, again, not living it totally, because we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. But if there's some people that you have access to, right? Maybe they're 2 levels up. Maybe they're 1 level up. Maybe there's a peer that shows up in a way that you admire. How do you start changing that into a relationship where it's peer mentoring? So now we're peers and we're helping each other out and we're growing up together in the organization. Where are the mentors who, you know, have already done it, they've exceeded, and now I'm talking to them quarterly again. You ain't even got to tell them they're your mentor. There's programs that match you up with people, but if there's somebody that you admire, then start building a relationship with that person. You know, you can just start. You just start talking to Jim. And I also don't want them all to be Black, because unfortunately, for some of the people you admire, they're not Black. because they're not in the room. They haven't ascended to that place. So I tell my clients, because they end up being black and brown, your team needs to be diverse, because literally there was a pay scale survey that said people with white male mentors make more money.
Yes. I mean, I believe
data. Right? Because if your mentor is mentoring you, they're moving in ways. That person could be somewhere that you haven't been. That person has privilege that you do not have. That they extended some of that privilege to you. They're taking your names in rooms. Like, you can't wait for the black person to make it to the place where they can start doing that. You need to, who's there now?
Well, that's a valid point. I'm gonna say this. And this kind of conversation makes people uncomfortable, but I don't have mind having uncomfortable conversations on this podcast. Like, I've said it before, like, black folks typically, at least for me, I try to look out for other black folks in the workplace. But you make a point about looking for mentors who aren't black, intentionally looking for mentors who aren't black, because they may end up in places where black mentor just hasn't been yet. That one is a tough one. I think a lot of dudes, black men, need to hear that, because a lot of times we're not racist. We just feel more comfortable around black men. We feel more comfortable around telling a black person what's going on with us, because, you know, maybe they'll be more willing to listen and care, and, you know, they shared experience, know what we, you know, what we come from, what we've been through to get where we are. And a lot of times we're nervous and scared, you know, to approach, to develop a creative relationship with someone who's not black, because we think maybe, you know, they're not going to get us. But you make a valid point there. I think, you know, black folks and brown folks in my audience probably need to think about in terms of moving up, you know, in their situation.
And we're vetting all these people. Just because somebody your mentor don't mean you talking about your failures. It depends, right? So I got to vet people. So there's people who they only go hear my wins. I got the person who I cry with and say I messed up with. That person who's higher up, who can potentially be a sponsor, ain't going to never hear nothing about a failure of mine. I only tell them wins. I only tell them good stories.
Really?
So we got to know who we're dealing with and what role they're playing, and being really strategic around our team, because my sponsor ain't gonna never hear about a bad thing about me.
Really? See, no. you're that's some gospel right there.
Absolutely not.
That is so you're telling me, like, the person who's your sponsor, you're not gonna share like your losses, your feelings with them. Like, man, this
absolutely
I didn't get this. I'm kind of upset. You're not gonna.
Okay, if it makes sense. So if a sponsor, so let's say something didn't happen that I wanted to happen, right? Yeah, we can have that conversation, but, and maybe the sponsor can tell me why that happened if they happen to be in the room, right? Or, and a sponsor is somebody who uses their political capital to get you up. So you have to know a sponsor is a different from a mentor, different from a coach, different from an advocate, different from a cheerleader, right? So when I'm talking about building teams professionally, these are the kind of roles that we have. And then personally, we have some different people, right? A little bit. But your sponsor, like, if you had a big failure, they're going to know about it anyway. But your sponsor is go spend some money on you, that political capital, because they think you can do the thing and you're going to make them both look good. So if all they know about you is some negative stuff or some stuff that's just a little too off kilter. So it's like, ooh, I don't know if I can make this bet, because they're making a bet on you, right? But the thing about us being good is that it's a calculated risk. It's a bet. They know they're going to win because they're not doing it till they think we are going to do well. People do not sponsor. Okay. White privilege is something, but particularly for us, our sponsors typically would have already seen some kind of track record of success for us. A lot of us oftentimes have had to have some wins before people start sponsoring us. Now, there is some white privilege, and sometimes they see themselves in a white guy and they give them some privilege and they might sponsor them because they see themselves in them. But that's why we got to help these people see themselves. I want you to see me in yourself too. And so I'm going to help you make those connections, right? So I'm going to talk about the same school we went to, the same city. And in any company we in, we got that shared values right there. So when I had clients, it's like, I'm in a group, and so I have a black woman lawyer right now, who she's in a real estate team that is all white men. So there's not another woman. There's not another black person. And she's like, I don't have nothing to come with them. I said, girl, you're in Chicago. You're working at the same dang on firm. You are in the same practice group. So that means y'all care about the same things that happen to this company. You care about what's going on in this industry. These people are humans walking down the street. So they care about Chicago. It's like, there's so many things. Sometimes we make it so hard about the connection.
Yeah.
We don't have to make it that hard. And I know the first thought is, I don't have nothing to come with them. It's like, you got something to come with anybody who's breathing and walking this earth.
You listen, you just hit a nerve because I know I've been in situations where, like, I'm sitting there, whether we went out to dinner, you know, as a team, I'm like, I have nothing in common with these people, man. They're talking about stuff I can't relate to. They're talking about movies I've never watched, never plan on watching. They're saying this and that person's funny where I don't think this and that person's funny. Like, we don't have nothing in common. But you're saying, no, that's not true. No, like, not true. Beyond that, if you look at it, there's way more than that.
The fact that you had the same dinner, I mean, you got something in common. You got the same invite. You're here at the same time. You're sitting at the table. So you got something coming. So if you got to introduce a new topic to the star being included, if you have a mentor or sponsor that's also changed in, you'd be like, look out for me. Bring me in a conversation. See, this is when we have enough people around us that we can do this. If you can't do it on your own, like me, I can talk to anybody about anything. Because some of that stuff they do, I'm not doing. I'm not watching the horror movies. I don't play sports for real. I mean, happy to be here, right? But I go to sporting events. I know the top players. You know, I just, you know, I told you, I went to the Olympics for 2 weeks. I went to sports.
That's right. You did.
Right? So I can talk about it in those ways. So I'm not going to know every person, but I understand what it is to play basketball. I know what it's like to play football. I know what it means to go after something and lose. I know what that looks like. You know what I'm saying? I know what kind of pressure it is to, you know, be a celebrity. Like, all this stuff that plays into it. Because some of these people, this is what they wanted to do. And so when they retire, it's hard. D-Rose, retiring, right? That's a big deal. Derrick Rose,
yeah.
Chicago, right? So he's going to have to figure out what is he going to be now that he's not going to be a basketball player. And we've seen people really struggle taking 100%. On a new identity, having to leave a profession that they gave it all to and the thing that they worked for. But we know that too, not as athletes, but in our careers and in our personal lives. That's why sports brings us all together in that way. Sports is so powerful, whether you are on the field or you're watching it, right? Like, there's a place for all of us in sports.
Yeah, and sports kind of plays out like life. If you pay attention to sports, it plays out like life, and it teaches you, yes, teaches a ton of lessons. All right, let's keep going. So we were talking about your role, identifying different roles on your team as a CEO. What's next?
So we're talking about vision, strategy, overall health, having a team, and then executing on that, right? We're keeping it real simple, but you got to have a vision and a strategy. And just getting a job is not it, right? How do you want your life to be? And some people don't even have an opportunity to think about that. So some of the things that I do is help people start dreaming, to reimagine their life. That's a big deal, because a lot of us feel like where we are is probably where we're going to have to be. It's only going to get worse from here. Oh, I'm going to try to keep what I got. We don't really see a path to expanding. We don't see a path to doing something different that isn't flighty. And I'm not saying all of a sudden at 40 to say you want to be a rapper, unless that's really on your heart. And
well, you're killing dreams. You're killing dreams right now.
You know, and maybe there's a way to do that as a hobby or, you know, whatever. Maybe you blow up. So if that's something that really, really lights you up, then there could be a plan for that. There could be a path for it. But I don't want you to quit no good job because you're about to be a rapper. But at this age, right? And so really, it's really about being intentional about our lives. And that's what the invitation is for being a CEO, because there's no CEO who doesn't have to be thoughtful about what they're doing and what the outcomes are. Because when they don't do it, they get fired.
Yeah.
And so, but the problem with us is, it's not that we get fired from being the CEO of our life. It's just that our life ain't the one we want. That's what happens when we don't become the CEO of our life. Then we're living a life that we don't want.
How do you, and we're going to wind down here, guys. Sorry. I know I don't like to keep everybody over an hour much more than that. How do you awaken someone? And I see this in some of the people I grew up with. It's like they're trapped in how we grew up. And, you know, they didn't go to college. So they went straight to, like, working part-time and then full-time. And, you know, like that whole cycle, right? And honestly, they probably, so we're all the same age. And they've probably reached a point where they're like, they've given up on trying to become a superstar. You get what I'm saying? Like, really fulfilling their purpose. Can you speak to my audience about how do you get out of that, right? Like, I know you're saying it, you know, at 40, you probably don't recommend going, you know, trying to be a rapper or anything like that. Just like, you know, right now it's probably too late for me to try to make the NBA. But how do you speak to someone to get them out of that mindset? Because a lot of people are like, my mind has been opened, right? I am chasing my dream, my visions, like I'm always dreaming. But there are a lot of people, and I assume a lot in my audience, who I know personally, who they're not going to admit it, but they've pretty much like, okay, this is what I'm going to be for the rest of my life. And they've lost sight of the vision of being their best selves. How do you, that awakening you're talking about, how do you get there? What advice would you give to someone in that position?
I think it's a choice. And I know that seems hard, and everything that I ever lead people on is always coming back to ourselves, because the truth of the matter is, whatever you tell yourself is true. And so if you told yourself all you can be is what you are today, and that's what you're rocking with, that's where you're going to be at. So what I would ask a person who still has a thought about being something else, that one, lean into that. Because if you have that thought, even if it's a small thought, kindle that thought that you can be something else. Because if the thought is there, then there's possibilities still, right? Because because a lot of us have the thought, but we got fear and we got all these things. But a lot of these things are stories. And so check your thoughts. Challenge some of these thoughts, the negative thoughts that tell you what you can't do, because the result is you're not happy anyway. So at least
what if you're not even having a thought though? You're not having a thought either way, right? You're just like, I'm just living life, ho-hum, you know, wake up every day, like, you know, nothing better to do. I'm going to go to work, come home. Like, I'm not dreaming big. I'm not dreaming ball. I'm not dreaming at all. I'm just existing, right? I would like to, and that's the point of this podcast, to be perfectly honest with you. Like, I would like to awaken the animal inside people, right? Like, yo, you guys can do this. You are more than your current state. Some people aren't dreaming at all. They're not, you know, having little dreams, or they're not having zero dreams. They're just okay living current life. And I want to shake them. Do something. You're better than this. And I know you can't force people to do that, but is there anything we can do?
Mike, I think the only thing we can do is give the invitation, right? So we can create a space where we allow them to maybe have the thoughts about a dream. But some people are going to stay where they are, and that's how the world works, right? Like, there's some people who go work at Walmart. We go thank them for that, right? Like, somebody got it. So there's a place for all these folks if that's where they want to be. And so if they really don't have the thought, and then when there's invitations, or if they listen to your podcast and nothing's resonated with them, then and that's maybe where they, that's where they're going to be. And, you know, what they say, don't save them. They don't want to be saved. Like, so you got to know, right? You got to know. And so again, the invitation is there. We don't have to give up on people. And then what does that invitation might look like? You know, if that's something like, if they've been able to express that they're interested in something, so we can introduce them to somebody, or we can give them a book on it. Like, so there's ways, but if they literally are, have no thoughts on it, I'm going to leave that person right there, because what I'm not going to do is expend a lot of energy on somebody who's happy to be where they at, or are at least content enough to be where they are. Now, if there's somebody,
they don't know any, so what if they don't know any better?
But I'm saying, but the invitation's there. So if they listen to this podcast, if and I don't know who don't really know any better at this point, because the way people making money these days, I mean, there are kid gamers who are millionaires, right? Like, there's so many ways to make money in 2024 that we've never contemplated in life. You can, some girl talking about she's making $6,000 a month selling journals. I don't know who buying the journals, but I believe her. She's showing the receipts, right? And so there's so many ways to make money. And it's not, and I don't want this just to come back to money, even though we're in a capitalist society, because unhappy people with money kill themselves all the time. They're unhappy. So I don't want this to be just about money, because when you tap into who you are and you start taking care of yourself, I think the rest of that will come. I think the money will come. And not like, maybe you don't need to be a millionaire to have your happiness. Maybe what you need is, you know, this level of money that lets you take vacations and take care of your mom. And that's all you need. So maybe all you need is $250,000 a year, right? So it's different levels for us. I mean, you got them five kids, so you need a lot of money, Mike. But, you know, some other people who don't have the five kids, $250,000 might be all that they need. And for some people, that seems far away, right? If you're only making 30 or 50 right now.
Yeah.
But there's a path to that. And then once you get bold with yourself to just say what you want, without worrying about the hows. That's the thing. And I counsel my clients, the first thing about dreaming and visioning is not worrying about the how. Because when we start worrying about the how, that's when we start talking ourselves out of stuff. Because some things come to us, we don't know how yet. But again, particularly for us as believers, I decided everything I need to already have. That's my belief. I don't know who I might need to know. Mike, I don't know how you might bless me. right? I don't know, but I believe everything I need, I already have, even if I don't know it today, because it's on its way, because I've already decided what it's going to be. And I don't, and I can't worry about the how, because the how is what gets us messed up, because the how says I'm broke right now. I don't got no money. The how says, you know, the how says I don't got nobody in my corner. Like, and then we just stuck. So we get unstuck by being bold to say to at least ourselves what we really want.
See, I hear that. Start
making a plan around what I got today. What's my next right step? That's all you got to do. Your next right step. And I tell women in particular, black women want a whole damn plan. They want the whole plan. They want annexes. They want plan B through Z. And I'm like, no. What's your next right step to your dream life?
So I hear that, right? Don't talk about the how. I don't want to be Debbie Downer, all right? Don't talk about the how, but at some
dreaming,
point you gotta.
When you're
right.
dreaming,
when you're
I'm
dreaming,
about
you're
the phase we're in. We're in a dreaming vision.
So okay, good. So when does the how come in? Because at some point you talk about executing. At some point you gotta execute.
Because once you get clear about what it is you want, then you have to sit with what you got and say, "What's my next right step?" So when we think about these big companies, Google, the guy got an idea from something about a search, and then he built it up and gave it a goofy name. Do you know people was laughing at him probably when he was calling it Google? And now it's a household name. And they're Googlers and they're Nooglers. And they, you know, IBM. I mean, some of these people have money for people to start looking into stuff for them. And so I won't discount that privilege that some of those folks had because they had access to capital and some of us don't. And I want to be honest about that. But the main thing, though, is we got to get started. Because if you're worried about the how and you never get started, then you never go get started. So if I at least start now, if I know what my vision is, and my vision is to start Ascend Together, and I know I want to be a coach and a wellness leader, so I said it. I incorporated. I got a name. I got some colors. I got some love. And don't get caught up in some pretty stuff. So I'm not trying to tell y'all to go ahead and spend no money just to say you're doing stuff. But then I started getting clients. And I got clear about what my messaging was. And then when I'm talking to people, it's resonating with them. So I know I'm cooking, right? It ain't what it needs to be right yet, but I'm cooking. I'm here with you talking about it, right? And so I'm taking my next right step. So I'm saying, hey, I want to get on podcasts. I want speaking engagements because that's going to help me get in front of some more people. I want some more clients. I want to make sure my method works. But I created a method. So my thing is, when you're in the dreaming phase, dream. Then you come out the dreaming phase and you say, okay, what will it take for me to get there? What are the things that I got to do? Who do I have to be? I got to be bold. I got to put myself out there. So these are soft skills, hard skills, right? So who do I got to be? And then you start being that person. If I was a CEO of my life, what would I be doing? So and then start writing that stuff down. If I want to start a podcast, how do I start the podcast? You did that. You did something that didn't exist and you created it. You can do that over and over again where it makes sense for you to do it. And some people have never created a thing. And there's something to us. I don't know what a sense of God's going to be, but I'm already winning. I'm already doing it. I've created it. I'm creating a legacy right now for myself. Whether this blows up and I got to give a new name later, I don't care. I'm getting these learnings. I'm getting these gems. There's nothing.
See, that fear stops a lot of people. You just touched on it.
100%.
That fear of failure stops a lot of people from dreaming big. Like, man, I'm going to create this thing and nobody's going to watch. And nobody's going to listen. And nobody's going to pay me for it. And that's where you talk about, you know, self-doubting and talking about how before you even get started, you talk yourself out of it. So
And then I know we got to go, but also defining what the success is. So the success for me is doing the things I said. So I'm not tying success to the dollar yet. Because once I start making money, then I can say, okay, now I want to double it. But when you're in a phase where you're still building, tying it to just money going to have you depressed and down. So my success right now is showing up. I said I want to be on podcast. You my third one, right? I'm showing up. So I'm winning now because I define success as these three pillars, whatever it may be, right? This is my success strategy right now. And so when I'm operating in my strategy as a CEO, I'm winning. So the money ain't where it's supposed to be yet. I'm 6 months in. But I'm fully operating in my vision and my strategy. So I can do this right now with my head held high and being proud of myself every day because I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Because I said, this is what it takes, right? And so that's what it is. So it's responsibility, it's accountability, and it's keep moving. Because when we move, particularly people of faith, we talk a lot of stuff about God and then we don't want to do nothing. Like, why have a God that I can't count on to make some stuff happen for me? It ain't gonna happen in my timing necessarily, but if I'm gonna go ahead and believe in a God, I might as well make him do some miracles for me.
Trust him to do something?
I might as well be looking out for some miracles. If I'm going to believe in a good big God, I'm about to look out. I'll be talking about God. I'm ready for my miracle any day. I don't get one every day, but I'll be looking out for a miracle every day. And I get them sometimes. I see them. You get them too. But you might not even recognize it. But I'm out here looking for miracles every day. God can just bless me for no reason. I was in Vegas. Just let me hit one good time, God. He ain't let me. But I was available. You know, I was ready to receive. I was ready.
That's funny. So you've touched on Ascend Together. I want to give you some time to talk about Ascend Together and what you bring to the table with Ascend Together. I checked out the website. It looks peaceful, right? So what is Ascend Together? You know, for the people out there, and I know you talked about what we talked before the show about. You know, mostly right now it's women. Obviously, I told you men ain't like that, but I feel like we should be. So what is Ascend Together?
So yeah, Ascend Together is really a passion of mine as I've been in corporate America for 20 years and just seeing Black people needing some unique, Black and brown people, and then some women needing unique support. Because we have unique challenges in our organizations and society. And because I've been around for 20 years, I've seen things play out and they've been good for me. I've had bad things. I had setbacks. I've rebounded. I've reinvented myself. And just to be able to offer that to people. And again, it's ascending because I want us to move forward. I want us to move up. And again, I'm not just talking about the ladder. I'm talking about in how we live our lives. And then together, because I don't believe you can do anything without community. And so my pillars are your well-being first. I want you to center your well-being first, then strategy and community. And so those are the three things that I bring. And so, yeah, you can get a coach and they give you, you know, these things to do. But if they haven't dealt with your fears, your limiting beliefs, the trauma you've been through, if they can't recognize how you being a Black person might be showing up differently in these team dynamics that you haven't quite figured out how to navigate, that's what I'm doing. So I'm doing that for careers, for entrepreneurs. I'm helping them lean into their wellness because entrepreneurs, being an entrepreneur is no joke, particularly if that's your only source of income. It is very stressful, particularly if you're not well established, if your income is hit or miss, that is stressful, very stressful. So being able to talk about wellness and rest, even as an entrepreneur, and then I do retreats. And so right now the retreats are for women. I hope to do a couples one in the future where I'm asking people, and particularly right now, Black women, to take this pause, to take this active pause where they're only focusing on their well-being for 84 hours. And we go to a resort. This resort gives you a sleeping bag for your phone. There's only certain designated places you can use the phone. But then you have all these experiences that you might not have had elsewhere. And so what I find when I take people there, and I've gone with a group, not as a Ascend Together with men, it is so beautiful to watch. So especially the men, because the men go in kicking and dragging and screaming because they're white.
Getting sensitive up in there.
This was nice. So this, thanks for introducing this to my wife. Y'all just listen to Black women. If y'all listen to us, y'all be fine.
They're getting all sensitive up in there. Oh, Lord have mercy.
And even if not the sensitivity, the rest. I think men have an opportunity to rest in meaningful ways, to disconnect in meaningful ways. It goes a long way with them as well.
That's amazing. So. The Ascend Together, there's two parts to it. There is the getting away part, but there's also, I guess, the personal development part of it. Or is it all one? Like, do we have to go away? And where's the location again?
Well, I took them to Miraval, Arizona.
So do we have to go away to Arizona to take advantage of the package? Or is there
These are separate things. I'm just naming some different offerings for people. But I do think, because it could be so challenging sometimes to incorporate these pauses that we need in a meaningful way at home, getting away can be helpful. Just like a couple should get away, you know, sometimes and have date nights. Like, because if we don't interrupt our patterns, we often don't get out of them, right? We may not even recognize the pattern. And so the retreats are really just that opportunity to just take the pause, to meaningfully look at what you're doing, how you're living. Is it working for you? And just taking care of yourself. So I know one woman had tracked her phone and she used her phone 74% less over those 4 nights that she was away. 74%, because she wasn't worried about her phone. She wasn't checking in, you know, like that, you know. So she was doing things at night, but during the day she was busy. She was hiking. She was taking the walks. She was eating her nutritious meal. You know, she went to this class. You know, it was just like they get to focus on themselves and expand over this short period of time. And it just really makes a big difference.
I wonder what the health impacts of that 84 hours is like. I'm sure that's amazing. Like you got to come back feeling like just a totally different person. And I don't know how you go back to real life though
I
after that, to be
know.
honest. That's the challenging part. I was like,
Yeah.
damn, I
And
gotta
so
go
that's
back to
why they
work.
keep working with me, right? We have a strategy. So, because again, you have to figure out how to live your life every day, right? So we can't just be living from retreat to retreat. That doesn't work either. Though these retreats can really be a springboard to you re-examining how you're doing things and why you're doing things. So it's a nice thing, but you can't just. I did tennis. I wanted to learn tennis and I see the time. And I would say I wanted to play tennis and I would go to a tennis camp. And it was a 3-day tennis camp in upstate New York called Total Tennis. And then I would never play again. I'm not a real tennis player. I did that 3 years in a row. I did the weekend package where you spent 30 hours playing tennis over the 3 days. And it's like an adult camp. And then I would like not do it. And so I'm not playing tennis to the level I want to because I was going to camp to camp. A year apart. Like, and that's how we can't be with our lives. So that vacation of vacations, particularly you just talked about, we only get 20 days. So you can't just live for a vacation because most of your life isn't a vacation. So how do we start building a life that we want to live in, that we're not trying to escape from, and that it's
Ooh, that's
mostly good,
powerful.
right? So we're gonna have some turmoil. It's not gonna be all good, but you deserve a life that's mostly good. I
And
want that for me.
how do you, that's a good closing note. How do you build a life that you're not trying to escape from?
By becoming the CEO of your life. And when you
Jeez.
become the CEO of your life, you start building a life that's aligned and that lights you up and that you get to enjoy in the pursuit of it, right? Even if you don't hit the thing, because again, we're redefining success in a way that if we're taking the right steps that we said is getting us there, then we're winning.
That one stuck with me. How do you build? I might get that one on a poster. How do you build a life that you're not trying to escape from? As much as I like where I am, I'm not satisfied with where I am. So I wouldn't say I'm trying to escape from my life, but sometimes it feels like that because the way I work out, somebody looking at me, man, you're trying to leave this behind. That one's gonna take some thought for sure. But I appreciate that word right there. Whew. Hour and a half gone
Yeah,
by.
I didn't think we would go this long.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm glad we did though. This was awesome. I appreciate you coming on, speaking with the audience. Fellas, this is tough. Sports in the real is, I'm getting more comfortable having these uncomfortable type of conversations, especially learning about my feelings and getting into my mentals, 'cause I realized, like I said, as dudes, like we put on a facade, man. We put on a facade as these tough guys, and like there's a whole 90% of us that, we don't touch on, we don't get in touch with because we're trying to be men, and that's just not right. So to preserve our humanity, I think these conversations are important. So Kimberly Pat, appreciate you coming on. I appreciate everybody for listening and watching. If you have to watch and listen to this episode multiple times, please do so because I think this is a super, super important topic. But thanks for being here, Kimberly, again. Anytime you want to come back, I
Thank
will
you.
open arms have you back again. But
And next time
thanks
I come,
everybody for
I'll talk
listening and
more
watching.
sports.
Oh, where can I almost forgot, where can people find you?
I would love if they come to my IG that I just launched September 8th. So to at
Okay.
Together Ascend, so transpose it to at Together Ascend. My link tree is there. You'll see whatever's coming up next. I'm going to take a break from the workshops in October, but I'll bring some back in November. I also have a growth squad kicking off next week. So if you want to work on some of these goals and you want a support team around you,
A
that's
growth
worth checking
squad. What's a
into.
growth squad, real quick?
It's just a quick group accountability circle that's kicking off October 15th, going to January 15th, because I want people to go hard Q4 to make 2025 the historic personal best.
Check out her growth squad, y'all. So catch her on Together Us at Together Ascend on IG. Cool. Sounds good. All right, you guys, we're gonna leave it here. Mike, Kimberly, Pat, Sports in the Real. Catch you guys next time. Peace.
I'm going straight to the top, just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top.